Thank you both. That was beautiful. An ancient Greek scholar once said, "Know yourself." Do you know who you really are? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever pondered it? Have you ever brought it into your meditation? Who am I? We have a tendency of describing ourselves either by the work that we do, or the roles that we play, or the condition that we find ourselves in at the moment. If you asked, who are we? We may say, I'm a lawyer, a minister, a musician, a community advocate, an accountant, or I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a sister, or I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm poor, or I'm happy and I am grateful. Some are afraid to turn to God because they fear they have done something wrong that has stained their soul. Perhaps they believe if they turn to God, He will punish them so that they may redeem themselves and then go to Him when they are pure. But you know, there's no such God. That God doesn't exist. God is good and very good. In Jeremiah chapter 33, the third verse, it says, "Call upon me and I will answer thee." This doesn't say, don't call upon me until you have no sins, until you love all people, until your wrongs are all made right. It says, call on me. Turn to me. First, the statement identifies the obvious. God is saying there is no separation between you and I. So call on me. Turn to me in silence, asking for nothing, except to know me and to do my will. In the Bible, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name." The word Lord means law. What is being said here is that eternal law is God, and that is his nature. Therefore, that which is of God is infinite. There is no temporary in God, in his expressions, in his kingdom. There are people who won't even go to a church because they believe that God doesn't want them since they are sinners. When God said, call me, he further said, I will answer thee and shew thee great and mighty things which you knowest not. He says this with pure and perfect love and no strings attached. God doesn't talk about man's sins or mistakes or faults. No, he says, I will show you great things about you. God also says, when you call on me, turn to me to listen, to experience that which is of my nature. For when we turn to God, we open ourselves to God's nature, which is really our nature. It is difficult for many to believe that their nature is of God. It is hard to accept that God knows us as his beloved child in whom he is well pleased. In fact, for many, it is impossible that God loves all, the saint and the sinner? You may ask, how can God allow those that hurt others into heaven? God does not know inequity. He does not recognize error or so-called bad behavior. To many religions, to sin is to attack God. I like the meaning of the word sin as it is described in the book of the Revealing Word. It says, and I quote, "Sin is missing the mark, That is falling short of divine perfection. Sin is man's failure to express the attributes of being, life, love, intelligence, wisdom, and all of God's other qualities. It further says, error, another name for sin, is first in mind and is redeemed by going into the silence. Error is brought into the light of spirit and then transformed into a constructive force. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Through the Christ mind, our sins, wrong thinking, that's another word for sins, are forgiven or erased from consciousness. When we have cast all sin, ever thought, another word for sin, out of our mind, our body will be so pure that it cannot come under any supposed law of death or corruption. Ever thought or wrong thinking all come from a state of mind whose perception and experience is based on the dualistic approach to life. This means that everything is perceived and therefore appears as opposites. If you have life, there must be death. If you have good, there must be evil or bad. If there is marriage, there must be divorce. To live from this state of consciousness means that conflict, fear, and sorrow must persist. Absolute truth, God's truth, has no beginning and no end. It is eternal, meaning it has always been and it can never change. It is the same today as it was from the beginning. And it is in its fullness at the very core of our being. God's truth is our truth. We aren't able to experience it because we have covered it with veils of ignorance. This is what Jesus came to teach us, that the kingdom of God lives within us, within our very being, and that we already are one with the Father as we were created of God. Regardless of what false ideas and concepts we accept as true for us, we can never be separated from our Father. However, until we unfold to our true spiritual self, we will continue to live our life from the state of mind that believes that good and evil, opposites, are real. It is important to remember that God knows nothing of opposites. I'll repeat, God is the one and only good. God knows nothing of the human condition. God knows nothing of evil. The good in duality is not the same as the good of God. God's good is the one and only good. We are all partakers of God's good when we live from the principle of eternal life. However, the good in duality creates separation. For when we accept one side of duality, good, we have to accept the other side, evil. Jesus told us there is only one good, and that is my Father who is in heaven. All of God's children are included in his good. However, if we are living from duality, we are experiencing the good of the human, which will not last. In duality, it is law that we attract our experiences with our feelings, our thoughts, and our actions. Our experiences show us where we are in consciousness. Therefore, we must learn to watch our thinking with feelings and emotions and rise a bit higher by focusing on the things of God. Jesus told us that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Usually, when we experience fear or anger or any strong emotion, we first feel it without thinking because it is emotion. Emotion is defined as undisciplined or uncontrolled forces, feelings, or excitement. This means that we feel the emotion before we have time to think. There was a study once conducted to see on what day of, this is real, it's going to sound kind of weird, but it's real. On what day of the week were the most heart attacks experienced? It was found that they happened at 9 a.m. Monday mornings. Further study showed that those who had the heart attacks would begin on Sunday night worrying about going to work the next morning. Some were afraid of their bosses. Others hated their colleagues. Others were afraid that someone was going to find out they really didn't know what they were doing, so they would be fired. Their fears and anxiety created heart attacks. It has been found that when we have a bad emotion, there is a corresponding chemical change in the tissues of the body that is life-depressing and poisonous. It has also been found every good emotion, such as love, makes a life-promoting change. Now, all of this is still in the human realm of consciousness. But even so, understanding our emotions is a step in the right direction. At least the good emotions opens the heart and consciousness and moves us away from the negative and moves us more towards God. God expresses himself in his universe. We are one with our source, whether we know it or not, and are partakers of the nature of our source, for like begets like. The law of like begets like explains why we are of God. We were created by the one source of all. Our thinking can never change who we truly are. Eternal, perfect children of God. We are here to be the instruments for God's expression and manifestation, just as Jesus was. When we cooperate with God's law, right action is always ours. Let us remember that we have freedom of will, freedom to choose, because our Father gave us this freedom. We have the freedom to live and express according to where we are in mind, in consciousness. But we cannot hide from the results of the choices that we make. We will always face the results, the outcomes of our actions, which are based on our state of mind. There will be times that we will regret our decisions and choices. But let us not make the mistake of blaming ourselves and then feeling sorry for ourselves. This is only going to get us stuck in a pattern of repeating errors. We need to let go of the past. Forget about past mistakes. Although, if we need to apologize or take care of something, we should do it. It is important that we turn within to dwell with our Father, to be silent in his presence, listening with our mind, heart, and soul. The time will come when we will hear God leading, guiding, and directing us to our true place. As we work with God's principle, think about it, live in it, God's wisdom is revealed, leading us to all that we must do, say, and be according to God's law. As it says in the Bible, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We do a service to all whom we encounter by practicing the presence of God and saying not a word to anyone. For God will be felt and others will be lifted. But only we can open the door to let God in. God cannot force himself into our consciousness or our heart. We have free will to accept truth or delay the realization. And I say delay because at some point you will have the realization of God in your consciousness. It is we who turned from the Father. It is we who must turn back to Him. There is a beautiful piece in the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ which speaks directly to this point. This is where Jesus said, "I come here not to speak of science, philosophy, or art. Of these, you are the world's best masters now. But all your accomplishments are but stepping stones to worlds beyond the realm of sense, are but elusive shadows flinting on the walls of time. But I would tell you of a life beyond, within, a real life that cannot pass away. In science and philosophy, there is no power strong enough to fit a soul to recognize itself or to commune with God. I would not stay the flow of your great streams of thought, but I would turn them to the channels of the soul. Unaided by spirit breath, the work of the intellect tends to solve the problems of the things that we see and nothing more. The senses were ordained to bring into the mind mere pictures of the things that pass away. They do not deal with real things. They do not comprehend eternal law. But man has something that will tear apart that he may see the world of real things. We call this something spirit consciousness. It sleeps in every soul and cannot be awakened till the holy breath becomes a welcome guest. This holy breath knocks at the door of every soul, but cannot enter in until the will of man throws wide the door. There is no power in the intellect to turn the key. Philosophy and science both have toiled to get a glimpse behind the veil, but they have failed. The secret spring that throws ajar the door of the soul is touched by nothing less than purity in life, by prayer and holy thought. Return, O mystic stream of Grecian thought, and mingle your clear waters with the flood of spirit life, and then spirit consciousness will sleep no more, and man will know, and God will bless. God created a finished kingdom. All we ever need or want has already been created. This is why we need not ask God for a thing, a single thing, for He already knows what our needs are before we ask. In fact, God knows better than us what we need and what we want. We must place our vision on that which is greater than us. Let us be steadfast facing God day in and day out. And so it is. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Let go of your body. Turn your focus within. Just know that you are the child of God. You are made in His image and in His likeness. And all that's true of the Father is true of you. It is true of all people, everywhere, wherever they find themselves. The moment we let go of all that consumes us, concerns us, our fears, our anger, our pain, we can then turn to our Father. For with God, there is only love and peace and joy and happiness. God is the one good, the one power, and the one life. There is no other power beside him. Let us love our neighbor as ourselves, for God abides in every living soul. Let us rest in God with joy in our hearts, knowing that his kingdom is not only finished, but is waiting for us to return. Let us be still, for now is the time to be still and quiet, for God lives in the silence. Father, we are ever grateful for your divine presence here and now, always with us, surrounding us with love and peace. We are grateful for your guidance and leading us back to your kingdom, your heaven, your paradise. And so it is. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and gives you his grace. The Lord gives you his spiritual understanding, his wisdom, and his kingdom. Amen. Please stand.